Welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover, Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy you are back with us. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you to date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We are standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So let us dive in. And I'm really excited to introduce my next guest expert, Bella Gandhi, who will be talking today on the topic of online and real life smart dating strategies. So when putting together this summit about dating mastery for women, it was essential to have a world-class expert who could guide all of the participants in the summit in the area of online dating and real life dating, because I hear so many stories and confusion and frustration related to this part of dating, especially the online aspect. So I'm really excited to have her here with us. But before we dive in, let me tell you a little bit more about Bella. So Bella Gandhi, she's the president of Smart Dating Academy. It's a premier date and relationship coaching firm resulting in hundreds of relationships and engagements. Smart Dating Academy inspires its clients to achieve their best in person and online via one-on-one coaching, image consulting, and amazing online profile makeovers. She is called the fairy godmother of dating by the Huffington Post, Steve Harvey, and Harry Connick Jr. Bella is the dating expert on The Steve Harvey Show, The Today Show, Good Morning America, Fox Chicago, and a frequent contributor to WGN, ABC, NBC, The Jam, Marie Claire, Glamour, Redbook, The Wall Street Journal, Essence, and Jet. Because her clients become much more likable during the dating process, they also become more likable at work, resulting in promotions and bonuses for her clients. Prior to founding the Smart Dating Academy, Bella worked for 12 years as a top global executive for AkzoNobel, a large multinational chemicals corporation. Bella Gandhi has both finance and German language degrees from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, which I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and is happily married with two children and is on the executive council for the CARA program and an ambassador for Chicago Woman magazine. She loves love and says she has the best job in the world. So I'm so thrilled to welcome you, Bella. Welcome.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
So happy to have you with us. And in honor of you, I have this magic wand, since you're the fairy godmother of dating.
So, what a wand!
This is actually from Paris.
So
I know you bring your fairy godmother magic today. Yes, we are. So let's dive right in. I know you have so much to share with everybody. And why don't we start with talking a little bit about the typical mindset of the online dater. What can you tell everybody about that?
So for those of you who have online dated, you're probably going like this, going, oh my gosh, the typical mindset of the online dater is, I don't want to do it anymore. Nobody comes through our doors at Smart Dating Academy saying, yay, I'm so excited to be online dating. I mean, people literally, you know, I mean, believe it or not, Match has been around since 1995. So online dating is very mainstream, but yeah. It's needle in a haystack. So most people at this point have tried it, haven't had a lot of success, and don't want to do it. It's a very different mindset than thinking, oh my God, there's only creepy people out there, but a lot of people still think that. It's all degenerates. There's nobody high caliber, conscious, an amazing woman like me. There's no good matches. So the typical online dater comes in with a lot of bad stuff and a very kind of negative outlook on online dating and its prospects. But that's what we do. So we're going to fix that.
That is fantastic. Yes, I think it's true. I don't think I've ever heard someone say, I love online dating. Yeah.
No. In fact, what I do with people during our very first session at Smart Dating is we reset the mindset. I tell people, thoughts lead to your feelings.
Yes.
Your feelings lead to your actions, and your actions lead to your behavior, right? So now, if you think, online dating is for the birds. It's not for me. It doesn't work. It's for degenerate, creepy people. You feel bad about it. You don't do anything. You get no action. So yeah. This is typically what happens. So I tell them, you're going to take on my mindset. And it was given to me, the name of it was given to me by a great client of mine. And it's psychotic optimism.
Okay, psychotic optimism. I love this.
Okay, so psychotic optimism is something that we're well known for. And we tell, you know, I tell women and men all the time, just for listening to me talk about dating, and I'm going to infect you with the psychotic optimism. What does that mean? It means I want you to become so optimistic about love. Love is a when, it's not an if. Most of you are probably thinking, I don't know if, I don't know. No, it's a when. Fairy Godmother Bella has a crystal ball right now telling you that your perfect mate exists for you. Now, all you have to do is date like heck to find him. That's it. So psychotic optimism is love will come to me. It's a when, not an if. And all I have to do is date to find him. And getting rid of all of that monkey chatter, all of that negativity, all of those bad thoughts and stories that we put in ourselves or people around us might put into us. So you two today, just for listening to this, are now a member of the psychotic optimist of Smart Dating Academy. So that is the right mindset for you to have.
Okay, we love that. Psychotic optimist. We are all behind that. That's great. So what kind of analysis should someone do if they're now decided, okay, I'm declaring myself a psychotic optimist. I'm going to go for it. What kind of analysis does someone need to do to make sure that they're entering the dating world not making the same kinds of relationship mistakes that they've made in the past, whether online dating or real life dating? What does someone need to do?
So we put our clients through something. Every new client that comes to us goes through a process called the marriage map. And not that, you know, everybody's end goal is marriage, but anybody that we accept into our program is looking for a long-term committed partner. And as part of that, what we really have people do is take a look back, because while we, you know, might have therapists and people that are helping us look backwards, I always say we have to understand how you got here and why you got here in order to put together a good plan for you to actually move forward. So looking at your previous relationships, right? What drew you to this person? What attracted you to him? What worked? What didn't work? What was your responsibility? What was his responsibility? And doing these analyses, and when you really sit down and think about it, I mean, our marriage map is 8 pages long with essay format questions, but when you, and I would, if I talked about it, it would probably take up our entire 15 minutes. Yeah. You, but when you actually look through and say, who have I been choosing? Mm-hmm. Many of our women have come to us chronically having been attracted to and accepted relationships with narcissistic men, emotionally yes. avoidant men, men that don't want to commit. So there can be a real theme in, and I promise you, if you've been dating or, you know, in relationship after relationship serially or marriage after marriage unsuccessfully, most likely there is a common theme or themes that run through that. And looking at what was your life like when you grew up with your parents? All of these men, you have to sit back and actually do these analyses, because if you don't, human beings tend to do what's comfortable instead of what's intellectually right. So we seek out what seems familiar, what seems comfortable, what seems safe, versus seeking out what we call high GHQ guys, high and good husband qualities. That's the end product of our marriage map process. Who is your high GHQ? Cammie, if you were our client, we would say, who's Cammie's high GHQ guy? And you have a roadmap now, which helps to reprogram old thoughts and old habits. So you start to accept the right guys and throw the wrong ones with bad patterns back to the pond.
The high GHQ. Good husband qualities.
High GHQ is good husband qualities. Versus a lot of us tend to look for bad husband qualities or things that
BHQ.
And it could stem from things that we saw at home with our parents. Yes. How were our parents with each other? How were they with us when we were children? We take a lot of those childhood attachments into adult relationships. And the way we attach can often have had a profound impact on what we saw when we were young. So all of these things together are things that you should be thinking about as you want to enter the dating world in a conscious, mindful way to not do the same thing over and over again. And as your chief psychotic optimist, I will tell you, I work with women all over the globe and help them get out of these patterns. So it is totally possible for you. Don't think you're doomed to meeting the same kinds of narcissists and avoidance. I promise you that there is a way out.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is so important, because someone could have the best online profile in the world, the best photos, get lots of opportunities to have dates, but might be still scratching their head thinking, why do I keep attracting the same kind of guy?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love that you work with clients in that way and start off with that foundation to really do that deep dive to figure out what needs to happen in order to break up those old patterns and try something new and attract in the high GHQ, as you're saying.
Attract, and most importantly, we'll attract some of everybody. High GHQ, low GHQ, we'll attract some of everybody. But the key is in the acceptance. Who are you going to accept? Ladies, you have the steering wheel of your dating life. You're not in the passenger seat. You have the steering wheel to say, you get to come in and the door's locked for you, right? Yeah. So this is about who you're going to accept into your dating life. That's
making new choices, yeah. So important. Yeah. Well, you mentioned narcissists, unavailables, other kinds of characters. So what do you have to say about red flags of dating? What are some of the things that women need to keep in mind as they're out there online or real life dating?
You know, we've got tomes of red flags that we do with our client by phases of dating. Like I call phase one, when you're online dating, we can jump into that, is really looking for things in their profile that look strange. Anybody that talks about what he's not looking for in his profile, to me, is a red flag. If somebody's going to approach their profile and telling you, do not contact me if your pictures are old, if you don't look like your pictures, if you've been married more than 3 times, if somebody's putting up all those barricades right there, to me, I don't want negativity. You're a positive, mindful, conscious person, and you should be looking for the like. So anybody that has negative language, anybody that plays the victim and tells you how everybody in their lives, all of their exes have been crazy, right?
What's the common denominator?
Who is the crazy? Men that say in their profiles, I'm not looking for any drama. I don't want a drama queen. When I hear a man say, I'm not looking for drama, here's what I hear. Here's the translation to that. This is the Rosetta Stone. I will cause you drama.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Next.
These are exactly, it's like, bye. If we're going to go back to the car metaphor, the door gets locked, just pass that one, bye. And red flags, ladies, even if when a man is tall and handsome and sophisticated and successful, and on date 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, grandiose gestures, lots of gifts, very flattering statements, you know, sends a black car to pick you up with dozens of roses to the finest restaurants. All of these things are potential red flags. Anything that's too much, too soon, too
fast. Like the love bombing.
Is going to flame out.
Yeah.
That's what happens. So yeah, while it seems so intoxicating for that moment, and quite frankly, that's what we're acculturated to think after reading Harlequin romance novels and watching Hollywood films, is that's how it should be. But no, that only happens on screen, and you never see what that relationship is like 5 months down the road. So no, we're not looking for anybody in a white limousine to come rescue us from the fire escape with the car full of roses.
I was thinking of that.
Right? You want a guy slow and steady wins the race. Mm-hmm. So Great. Red flags, there's tons of red flags. So yeah, and anybody who is critical of you, even in your online dating profile. Let's say you've got 3 good photos of yourself, and one of them, you know, you wore this red dress, and you get to the date, and he says to you, he's like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. Man, I really wish you would have worn that red dress that you wore in your photo. And most women will go, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Why didn't I wear that?
Oh, yeah, what's wrong with me?
That is a red flag. Nobody should be telling you what to wear or what not to wear on a date. He should be telling you, you look beautiful. Anybody who's negative or critical to you about the people in their lives, or even to people that they deem below them. Is he mean to the waiter? Is he mean to the host? Is he mean to the valet? These are all character traits. And again, while this stuff might sound kind of obvious intellectually, I assure you, if you have these patterns, you have overlooked these red flags and we sweep them under the rug when he seems larger than life and amazing. So don't ignore the red flags. What I will tell you is where there's smoke, there's fire. If you see a red flag and you're conscious of it, you're going to see it again and you're going to see it shortly.
Great. Thank you for that. It's really important. Well, so we're talking about red flags and hopefully this isn't scaring anybody thinking, well, oh my God, why do I even want to do this to myself? This sounds so awful. So if someone is feeling hesitant or anxious or even afraid of getting out there into the online part of dating, what would you say to them? How can they begin? And also, how can they keep themselves safe so that they know, all right, you might run into some shady characters online or people who aren't who they say they are or whatever, but you know that you can keep yourself safe. So how does someone get started if they're afraid? And then once started, how do they know that, no, I'm going to be okay no matter what happens?
I'd say, right, you know, first thing is it's all in how you're thinking about it, like we've been talking about. So if you say, I'm scared of online dating because I'm going to meet, you know, shady characters, I'm going to get scammed out of money. No, well, guess what? If you're looking for that, your ego bias is probably going to point you towards guys that way. Instead, reseed your thought and say, look, the statistics say that 1 in 3 marriages now take place because of online dating. Who doesn't know somebody that hasn't connected by online dating at this point? I can't walk into a room and tell people what I do where I don't hear, oh my God, my 25-year-old just got engaged off of Bumble. My 83-year-old aunt just met someone off of JDate. So no, look at online dating, ladies. If you haven't done it before, you have trepidation around this. Look at it. It's the same. It's, first of all, it's the world's largest cocktail party. Just look at it that way. Cocktail party that you want to be part of. And look at it. It's got the same bell curve. It's got the same type of distribution of people that exist at any bar, any fundraiser.
Great way to look at it.
It's no different. It just happens to be that you're looking at this on your computer screen, right? And the good news about online dating is you can read what somebody actually writes about them. You can see how old they are. You can see how they choose to market themselves with their photos. You can see if they're divorced, never married, widowed. It might take you 7 dates in the real world. You know, if you meet some guy at Whole Foods, which is everybody's dream, it might take you 7 dates to realize, oh man, this guy isn't who I thought he was. Whereas online, yes, a lot of that due diligence up front because you can see what they have to say about themselves. So just get rid of the fear around it. And if you need help, build a village around you of people that have done it before, or like you do in any aspect of your life, hire a professional that can help you around this. But the goal is that you feel safe around this. That's the most important thing. And there's so many ways to keep yourself safe. I can tell you in 8 years, we've had 0 incidences at Smart Dating Academy with unsavory people, catfishers, frauds. You just have to know the red flags and then let those guys go. We'll teach them to you. Don't worry.
Okay. We're going to get into the practicalities of the online in a second, but you just mentioned something that I wonder if you can just talk and explain to a little bit more. The catfishing. Can you talk a little bit about that? And before you do, I'll just tell a story about a client that I worked with. We were talking, she was telling me that she met someone online and they were going to be getting married. And as I started to talk to her some more, I discovered they had never met yet. And so that kind of like, oh, this doesn't sound good. And yes, sure enough, it turned out that he then asked her for a very large sum of money. So unfortunately, those kind of people exist. So what do you have to say about this, the catfishers and the scammers?
They do exist, but they're a minute population of online daters. So trust your gut, ladies. We're born with an intuition. And if something seems too good to be true, it often is too good to be true. You can do a lot of different things. If you see a photo, for example, like if some guy only has one or two amazing photos that look like a, you know, he's a supermodel, and then he says he's a physician by day and a model by night, and, you know, and he sends you an email saying he's never seen a woman as beautiful as you, he knows it's time to end his search because he knows he's met his soulmate. Time out. Too good to be true is too good to be true. And these people, a lot of catfishers is somebody who's pretending to be someone else to get you to fall in love with them, often for demented purposes, and sometimes to build up that intimacy and trust with you so that they can eventually ask you for a sum of money. So the key is, if someone doesn't want to get off of email onto the phone with you and meet you for a date, in a couple of days, call it, then
bad sign.
Yeah, you're not looking for a pen pal. That's not why you're on here. I don't want somebody telling you their life story on email and asking you for all sorts of personal details. No, remember, again, too much, too soon, too fast, too furious, red flag. So just use your gut around that.
Great. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that.
So
why don't we dig in a little bit to the practicalities, because I know women have a lot of questions about what really makes a great profile, what do I need to think about with the written part of the profile, the photos. Why don't we start with the written part of the profile? What makes a great profile, a great username? What can you say about that?
So, you know, there's a lot that goes into having a good online profile. Your online profile, think about this, is like your cyber, this is your online ad in cyberspace, right? It's nothing that should take you 5 minutes or an hour to put together. This takes time. It takes effort. You want to look at yourself as, and I don't mean this in a crass way or in a non-spiritual way, but this is your product in cyberspace. And you want to make sure that you're positioning your best features, what you bring to the table, who you're looking for, in the right way. So if we talk about profile text first, my best advice is keep it short and sweet. If you're on a site like, let's say, match.com, you want to keep your "in my own words" section. That's where you can write a free form essay and there's no limit to the characters. Keep it to 200 to 300 words. But the thing that you want to try to do is stand out in a positive way. Think about three adjectives that best describe you. Maybe you're kind, maybe you're a traveler, maybe you're, you know, benevolent and you give back. And so instead of just saying, I'm kind, I'm benevolent, blah, 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 what makes you kind?
Yes.
Right? Do you make your, you know, famous chicken noodle soup from scratch for your friends when they're sick to show their kindness? You know, do you shovel your neighbor's driveways in a Chicago blizzard, especially the elderly people, and they don't even know who did it, but you're that person? That shows me how you're kind versus just telling me. So when you're thinking about those 200 to 300 words, think about show, not tell, and think about your best attributes that you're proud of. And if you think right now you're boring and you're not unique, I'm going to tell you that's patently false. You are interesting. You are exciting. There's nobody like you on planet Earth that's had the experiences you've had and the life that you've had. Think about, maybe you've had a quirky childhood. Maybe you moved around a lot. Maybe you won a hula hoop contest. I don't know what you do, but winding those little vignettes together in writing that shows someone who you are and the positive sides of you. Instead, don't go negative. Don't talk about what you're not looking for. Again, when you put negative out there, what comes back to you? Negative.
Mm-hmm. And how much of the profile should focus on what I'm seeking in a partner is, and should it be the same kinds of things where they're, oh, I'm looking for someone who volunteers his time in his neighborhood, or those kinds of things too, or how much of that should be included?
I don't really think you need to do a lot of that. I think a lot of the sites and apps already allow you to put those quantitative parameters on. So I believe in your profile, just state things qualitatively about what you're looking for. So many people erroneously think that having similar interests And like, I like to play tennis, so he has to play tennis. I volunteer, yeah. He has to volunteer. No, that doesn't mandate a good relationship by any means. What are the values that are important to you? Is it kindness? Is it benevolence? Is it giving back? Is it being adventurous or spontaneous? And put a few of those at the end. But remember, make sure you want to be the kind of person that you want to attract. So make sure that there's a good match between who you are and what you say you're looking for as well, and be reasonable.
Okay, great. And what about, you mentioned some of the sites. What do you recommend for a woman who's dating in terms of a mix of a site like a match.com versus an app like a Tinder or a Bumble? What do you recommend to mix that up a little bit?
So I will tell you off the bat, sometimes people come to us having been on 5, 6, 7, 8 sites and apps at the same time. We shut everything down for our clients because we're doing their photos. We're writing their profiles. We're giving them site strategies. So what I would tell
relaunch.
You, we relaunch you. It's a total makeover because it's just pressing reset and you feel good about it. And it just feels like a fresh start. But, if you, oh my God, I just forgot the question that you asked me because I went off on a tangent.
Oh, just about if, do they want to be on a match and a Tinder or a coffee meets bagel or whatever, J-Date at the same time?
So we're going to, after we relaunch somebody, we put them on one site or app, depending on who they are, what they're looking for. And then maybe 6 to 8 weeks later, we'll add a second site or an app. So ladies, no more than 2 sites or apps at the same time. If not, you're going to have like dating ADHD. Like how much focus if you're doing 5, 6, 7 sites and apps at the same time? You can't focus on anything. But with that being said, be on 1 or 2 sites or apps. Give it, 1 to 2 months. And if that's not working for you, have a fluid strategy. Have your, your month plan for May, June, and July set up. So remember, anything big that you do in life has to have a plan. You can't just think, there's nothing more important in life than finding that healthy, happy, lasting love. Not work, nothing is more important than that. And when you have plans for everything else in your life and being planful about dating, and even on a tangent, your online dating profile and your strategy is so important. So have a dating plan put together. It makes all the difference in the world.
Well, we do this to find a job. We do this on important projects. So why not have a plan and a strategy for your dating?
Yeah, it's funny. People always say like, wow, I've invested so much in, my work wardrobe and my handbags and my shoes. And if I was going to get a new job, I'd go out and I'd have a professional writer rewrite my resume and I'd have a suit and I'd do this. But in dating, we just sort of say, well, he better accept me just as I am. It's like, wait a second. What just happened? You want to put your best foot forward because you want to meet someone who's equally as awesome as you. So you've got to show your awesomeness.
Okay, so what about photos? I hear from a lot of people about the photo. Well, I have a couple selfies and this. How about this snapshot? Okay, so tell us the scoop about the photos.
Okay, so don't shoot the messenger here, guys. But online, your online dating success is 90% going to be based upon your photos. So yeah, I did say that. I know it's brutal, but you know what? It's not because men are this, men are that. Women are just as visual. I work with men and women in our practice, and 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I know how people are looking at this. Everybody is visual. Everybody's looking at those photographs. So have 5 to 6 great photos of you. Your first shot should be an opening headshot with you looking right at the camera, smiling, dressed up, looking good as you would to go out. And then you've got to have some head to toe shots after that. Dressed up, not schlumpy dumpy like we've been couch surfing all day, like you would if you were going out to a fundraiser or cocktails or a wine night with your friends. You want to look cute. You want to look pretty. You want to look like you, right? And even if you're saying, well, Bella, I don't look like that every day. I'm kind of a yoga pants and ponytail and butt.
I don't wear makeup.
Right. Now, let me put that to you. If a guy said, well, I don't really want to wear a nice sport coat and a nice pair of slacks and a nice crisp shirt in my photos, because sometimes I like to walk around in a tank top and boxers in my house, and she should look at that as well.
That's hysterical.
Okay. So,
and sadly, there are some people like that online with the selfies in the bathroom. So,
no selfies. The car selfie was the big 2017 thing. Like, I never, it's like, what do I do at a stoplight? Just going, wow, I look like I've got my groove on. I'm going to take my iPhone out and shoot a picture with the seatbelt on in the rearview mirror. Right. No car selfies. My best advice is get a great photographer and get some great photos taken. Dress yourself up. We've got lots of guidelines on how to look, what's most flattering for you. Again, if you were product marketing, right? And if you were marketing a phone, for example, you would make sure that you had a beautiful phone case. It was spiffed up. Everything looked great. You'd have professional photos. You wouldn't just say, well, I think I'm just gonna snap some iPhone photos in my bathroom of my product and then throw them up and hope people are gonna buy my product. Think about this, guys. We have to put the same common sense that we do in our business lives and our work lives as we do in our dating lives. So yeah, have great photos, 5 to 6 of them. That's all you need. Not one photo, not 15 photos, not photos of you with all of your girlfriends and bridesmaids dresses. So it's like a Where's Waldo picture. Not 5 pictures with us and all of our pets, even though our pets are important and our kids and our grandkids. You and only you. Again, you're the product in cyberspace.
And can you talk a little bit about makeup? Because I know some women say, well, I don't really wear makeup. I don't want to look overdone in my pictures. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I can tell you that there's a lot of research that says that men tend to look more at photos where women have a moderate level of makeup on, not a heavy, heavy amount, and not a very natural amount either, not a little bit of pink gloss and a tiny bit of blush and you're good to go. You know, darker pinks and reds, again, you're appealing to very base instincts in men. Red and pink symbolize femininity. Mm-hmm. So pink and red lipstick definitely gets a lot more looks than just the nude looks. I know we shoot women in our studio at SDA in Chicago every day, and we have a makeup artist that helps to get women ready so that you look as good in your photos as you do in real life. So by the end of our shoot, we're definitely, you know, the lips are darker. And I'll tell you what, most of women are natural women, and they look at the photos and they're like, I think I'm going to go out and buy that lipstick because I really like the way I look in that. And so I would say, give it a try. If you're going to do 2 things, do something that emphasizes your beautiful eyes and your beautiful lips. I'm not telling you to go out and do something that you're not comfortable with, but take a couple of steps to put your best assets forward. And I think you'll see good results.
And I think that, since you're the fairy godmother of dating and love here, that think about it. I think of it like being queen for a day, you know, and if you have someone supporting you, a great photographer and a makeup artist who's pampering you and having you look your best and in a beautiful outfit and someone helping you to help you pose and look your best, it's such a fun thing to do.
It's a fun thing to do, and it's a soul-filling thing to do. When we take photographs of women, and we don't Photoshop, we have a 0 Photoshop policy, but it's because people want to date the person in the picture. Yeah. And with the right light makeup, the right lighting, the right clothing, right, the right backgrounds, women, most of them have tears in their eyes when they see their photo. They're like, I don't see that person. I'm like, that is what the world sees. That is how beautiful you are. And that's the beauty of what we're able to create in the photo shoot. The photos are spectacular, but what it does is it shows you how beautiful you actually are. Because so many, we don't sit around taking iPhone photos of ourselves that are very good. And when you have great photos taken of you, it's like, that is what the world sees. I want those images to stay with you in your mind so you know how beautiful you are.
That's gorgeous. Yeah, I love that. It's that reads on the computer screen too. That soulful, you know, really seeing someone's eyes and their essence of who they are, their authentic self coming out. That's I love that. It's gorgeous. Another reason to take those professional photos.
Yeah, and when you're going to hire a professional photographer, be wary and be really careful. Go out there and do a lot of due diligence. If you're going to, you know, if you say, I don't want to come to Chicago to work with us, that's fine, and you need to stay local. What I would say is really check the credentials of the photographer and really understand that you're going to get multiple outfits in a shoot. A lot of photographers, you know, you can find them on Groupon or Gilt for, a couple of bucks, but they might give you two photos back. But the way the online dating sites function is they are prioritizing and optimizing people that are switching in a photo per week. So you have a good amount of photos so that every week you pop in a new photo on your Bumble, on your Hinge.
That's a great tip.
eHarmony. Because think about it, the sites and the apps are about, if you put your business hat on, they want to retain their customers, right? So they want new things to look at and people that are engaging with the apps and the sites and talking to people and showing different pictures. If suddenly you're not getting any traction on a site or an app, they might think you're not alive because you're not doing a whole lot on it except for waiting for people to email you. And ladies, let me put this in there. It's 2018. And we don't need to sit around and wait for a man to email us. Online dating has leveled the playing field. One place in the dating world where the numbers are about equivalent, it's 50-50 on online dating sites. In fact, there's a slightly more men on most sites than women. So the numbers are in our favor. So get excited about that and really optimize what you're doing on these sites and take it seriously, because your best odds typically are looking at these online sites. Because if you go to a meetup group, you might run into 29 women and 3 guys because men aren't as proactive about going out and searching. So with that being said, be proactive and email guys proactively. Don't just wait for the ones that are going to email you. Fire off those messages. Fire them off. See who comes back to you. You're in the driver's seat. Your dating life is in your hands. Isn't that exciting?
It is fantastic. And so what is the content? So if someone's dating, and do you recommend that they do this every day, 5 days a week, for how long? But if they're doing that and they're doing their online dating, what are they saying in the messages that they're sending?
So I'll take your first
initial messages. Yeah.
So your first question is, I think, how long per day, how many days? Mm-hmm. We tell our clients, put in 30 minutes a day, 7 days a week. This is like, you know, a little bit of a workout that you would put in. And if you tell me I'm too busy, I'm going to find the time in your 16 waking hours to put 30 minutes into your schedule. Because that's what we do. Like, how do you incorporate this into your life? 15 minutes in the morning, maybe as you're having your tea or your coffee, you know, 15 minutes after your workout in the morning or 15 minutes at night after dinner, you can easily do this. Okay. And then we want to...
Yeah, and then the messages that they're sending. So how many should they be sending? Do you have a target with that? If they're on there for half an hour, what are they saying in the message?
Send out as many messages as you can per day. I have my clients send out 3 to 7 new messages per day. And show that person in your message that you actually connected with something in their profile. You read it, maybe you liked a photo, but showing that person that you took the time to read their profile and writing a message reflecting that will get you more reads than not. If it's, hey, think you're cute, liked your profile, write me back if you're interested, delete.
Cut and paste.
Trash can. Yeah. Cut and pasters. So show the person that you read. It doesn't have to be, this is not Shakespearean. Okay. You don't have to sit there and have writer's block and create 3 long paragraphs, 3 to 4 sentences. End with the question, just like a conversation, right? This is just a conversation. You would say, Cammy would say to me, hi Bella, how are you? And I'd say, I'm great, Cammy, I'm having a good day. How about you? We end it with the question. Then the person answers. He lays out a question. You answer it. The same thing in your messages. End with the question and your first name. That's your message.
That's great. End with a question and they have to answer. And that also tells you a lot about the other person if you get the one word answer or if they're giving you something to work with.
If you're writing thoughtful emails to someone and they're just answering your question, yes, period, and they're not engaging you, don't get upset by that. They are showing you who they are. Ladies, Maya Angelou said it best. People show us who they are. It's up to us to believe them.
Love that quote. Yeah.
And if he's showing you he's not so into this process with one word answers and nothing,
bye.
Find someone new that is into you. I want the man that you end up with to like you a little bit more than you like him.
Mm. Yes. And so a woman's doing this, she's doing the emails, getting responses. You're recommending that they set up a date right away. You also, I'm hearing you also say that you're okay if the woman is dropping the hanky, so to speak, and not waiting. So do you encourage women to make the first move in terms of saying, hey, well, would you like to meet? What do you encourage about that?
what I would typically say is, if we're talking about online dating in this instant, don't just message people and end up on a date. There's one crucial step that you need to take in the middle, and that's talking on the phone. Okay. So number one, set up a Google Voice account. It's free. It's easy. Then you don't have to get, you don't have to give out your real cell phone number, because we can be Googleable by our cell phones. So give the guy a safety tip. Yeah, exactly. So once you give him your Google Voice number, you can say, "Hey Joe, you know, hope you had a great day. It'd be great to put a voice to a name. Here's my number. Is there a time that's convenient for you that we can chat?" And then ideally, again, I always say crazy people can't keep crazy in the closet for more than 10 minutes. So if that person is truly bananas, you'll hear it on the phone, and you might not know this through their cyber personality. So talk on the phone, and if it all sounds good, then hopefully he suggests meeting up, and then go for it. And always make sure that you meet at a place that's public, that is familiar to you, and that you get yourself there. Even if he is a gentleman and being very chivalrous and offering to pick you up, and he's probably just a nice, great guy that offers that, just say, "You know what, that's so sweet of you to offer. I'm totally fine. You know, I've got a car, or I'm going to Uber there, but thank you so much for offering." Keep yourself safe. Always have nice delivery when you're saying no. Say no the way you would want to hear it, gently and sweetly, and then keep yourself safe and be independent so you can get in and get out on your own.
Okay. And so you're saying, hopefully after the conversation goes well, that the man might, "Okay, well, I liked that our conversation. I thought we connected. Would you like to meet up?" And what if you have a great conversation that doesn't happen?
After the phone call, you mean, if you don't, mm-hmm. if he doesn't ask you out for the date? Mm-hmm. So at that point, you can say, if you guys are just talking, just say, "Hey, you know what? It'd be great to grab a cup of coffee." Right? Because remember, guys, men are just as afraid of rejection as women are. And they are the ones that are always expected to make the first move. And you don't know what his story is. Maybe he was rejected 71 times and he can't bring himself to utter the words, even though he's stabbing himself in the leg at the same time to go, "Ask her out, ask her out."
God.
It, right? He might need a little bit of a nudge. Come from your human side and say, "You know what, would you like to meet?" And he might go, "Oh my God, that'd be amazing." I have clients, I let them do what's called one nudge. Let's say in a situation like this, or after a great first date, you don't hear from a guy. "Oh my God, what do you do?" So send one nudge email.
Text.
Yeah. Like, "Hey, I was thinking about you. I read an article in the New York Times and it reminded me of what we were talking about hydrangeas in the spring. You know, hope you're having a great week." If he's interested, he's going to email or text you back immediately. I had a client who was very shy in Chicago. She was in her 40s, never been married. And we got her online finally, but I actually, in addition to online, we help people to figure out events that they're gonna go to and get over these anxieties. So we sent her to a speed dating event. And she met a guy who, she matched with him, and she's like, "I think I know who this guy is." So we called her up, they went out on a date. She calls me, she's like, "Oh my God, I didn't think anybody shyer than me existed on the planet, but this guy was shyer than I was. And it was lovely, and we had a great date, and I think he'll ask me out again." One day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days pass. And this girl, Allison, didn't hear from Eric. Allison calls me despondent, like, "I thought it was a great date, but I'm doomed to be single forever." I said, "Allison, I want you to email him and just say, 'Hey, Eric, was thinking about you. Hope you're having a great week.'" I had to take her kicking and screaming
to do that.
She did it. Do you know what he did? In literally 90 seconds, she gets a message back saying, "It's so great to hear from you. Would you like to go out this weekend?" He thought
he needed the nudge.
Wasn't into him.
Oh, okay. That's really good feedback and coaching.
Okay. So you never know. One nudge, not 17 nudges.
Yeah. Not, "By the way, I still exist."
Yeah. No, don't keep doing that. I did an online profile analysis session call with someone the other day, a guy. And he's like, "I don't know why I'm not getting any messages back from these women that I'm emailing." And I went and looked in his inbox, and he was emailing the same 10 women every single day.
Oh boy.
I said to him, I said, "This kind of looks stalkery. You have to."
Okay, overkill.
He's like, "But we're told that we have to be aggressive. We have to be the ones reaching out." I'm like, one nudge, dude, one nudge.
Well, that's really good feedback though, as a woman, to know, you know, to have like the humanity and the compassion in this too. that on the other end of the screen, they'd want the same things that we want too. They're trying their best and they maybe don't have all the skills. So give them a, you know, kind of a little slack and realize that.
Exactly. Give him a little love. Give him the benefit of the doubt. As long as there's no red flags around him, maybe he didn't show up to the date dressed as you would like. Maybe his teeth weren't as great as you thought. Maybe he was shyer than his online persona. But give good guys a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, right? Because ladies, chemistry can develop for women. We're expecting fireworks and chemistry right away. Yes. I'm telling you, when a client tells me they had fireworks and chemistry right away, my red flag
and run
deep, something's not right. I want a slow burn, steady. That chemistry can develop over time. I can regale you with thousands of stories of clients where for the woman, the chemistry kicked in at the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th date. And the letters that we get back from women that we work with saying, 6 months ago, I would have never given this guy a second look, much less a second date. And now we're married.
Thank you for saying that, because I agree with you so much. And I hear women all the time, I have to have this chemistry. We didn't have enough chemistry on date one or date two. So thank you for encouraging women to hang in there with the good guys. And it does develop.
And if you have a lot of chemistry with somebody, ladies, I'm going to put something controversial out there for you to just chew on and think about. You have a lot of chemistry with someone on date one, chances are he reminds you of someone you've dated in the past that wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. That chew on that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We have so many great tips that you've given on online dating, and I'm just watching the time, but I really would love you to step into the real life dating. So a lot of times I hear it with women. Okay. Well, I did my half an hour. I did my dating. I did my online dating. Now what? There's nothing, you know, no other possibilities. What about real life? How can a woman generate some possibilities out in the world, not online dating, but just out in real world?
Ladies, get off of your iPhones, take your headphones off, engage with the world, make 3 seconds of eye contact and smile at everybody you meet until it's habitual for you. Look approachable, look friendly, be socially generous. It's a fancy way of saying be nice and look like someone. I work with tons of guys. Guys will tell me all the time that they're not going to take the risk of walking up to a woman that hasn't given them a sign. Give them a look, a little eye contact, a smile that would say, I'm welcoming, come and talk to me. And it doesn't have to be some, you know, sexy come hither look, you know. Normal, make eye contact and smile. Maybe chat them up if you're at a party or a bar a little bit. We have our clients when they fly into Chicago to work with us, when they're flying back home. I'm like, I want you to make 3 seconds of eye contact with everybody that you see at the airport and smile at them and see what happens. I have stood up in weddings of people that have met on airplane rides.
I heard a woman of this. Yeah, she met her husband. He was in the same aisle. And they talked the entire flight. They're now married with, I think, 4 children.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was telling you about that story about Allison, who got out of her comfort zone and went to a speed dating event. Try new things. Go out and try not to go out with, you know, maybe the same Debbie Downer single pal that you always have. You know, when you sit on a bar stool and maybe lament the dating world and the dearth of men everywhere. Instead, find some good, fun, positive new friends to hang out with. And when you go out, make it conscious and mindful to break apart from the crowd for a little bit, because for men, rejection by one is hard enough. Rejection by a group of six is game over.
God.
They're not going to come up to you and talk to you. So if you see someone that might be interested, you know, walk up to, you know, or close to where he's standing, give him a sign. These are the ways things get done in real life. I see so many people with missed opportunities in the real world. I wanted to give someone a compliment. This woman looked so beautiful and she had this dress on that was stunning. And when I was looked over to say it to her at a stoplight, she had her headphones in. And I was like, I'm not going to poke her on the shoulder and be like, hey, I love your dress, like a crazy person.
Yeah.
She missed out. Oh. When you're in a place with people, engage with people. We complain all the time about not having real life exposure. We have to rely so much on online dating. But when we're anywhere, when we're on planes, trains, automobiles, walking down the street, this is what we're doing.
Oh God, yes.
Looking at our phones, engage, snap out of it, put your phone away. You have to make these things mindful. If not, this little device with all the information and all the entertainment in the world will take up all of your attention.
Yes, and you can't date your phone, unfortunately. So
you can date on your phone.
You can date on it, but yeah. And what about setups, fix-ups?
Oh, yeah. Put together a team of people. Think about it. This is one of the strategies that we deploy with our clients is online dating is one, real life is another, and the other is setups and really thinking about the people in your network that are super connectors. And they're not just necessarily your five best friends or your mom or whoever it is. Think about the people in your life that are extroverted, like connecting other people. They are well connected, and put them on, you know, Team Bella. If I was single, I would say, okay, you know, I'm going to have these five people. I'm going to take them out to lunch or out for a drink and tell them I've nominated you to be on Team Bella because you're amazing and you're social and you're connected and you like connecting people. And I officially want to nominate you to be a matchmaker for me. And in the month of March, you're nominated to find me one fix up. So you can be creative.
That is so fun. Who would say no to that?
Nobody.
So fun.
So fun, right? And tell them why you put them on the team. People want to hear nice things about them. We're all looking for validation and acceptance and what's good about us at our core. We're all so missing that. We're all filled by that. And so when you see something nice or when you're inviting people to be on your team, tell them why and all the good things about them that put them on your team and watch them light up and get a little teary-eyed.
Well, I thank you so much. I want to be respectful of time. And just to wrap, anything that you want to share that we haven't already covered in terms of either the online or real life dating that you think is really essential?
Can I tell them about our free ebook now?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So we have a free gift on our site. It's called The Four Commandments of Online Dating. It's got lots of tips and tricks and befores and afters about photos, profile, messaging, great first dates. All you have to do is go to smartdatingacademy.com and you'll see the download link for the book and download it. And I think you'll love it. And the code Smart Dating.
Great. And there's a link actually here on the page. You can look directly below the video that you're watching or the audio that you're listening to. Bella's free gift is right there. And you can learn more and take a deep dive with these four commandments with the online dating and learn more. So Bella, thank you so much for being here today. This was fantastic. And I can't wait to hear about all the success stories of all the participants who have taken these tips and changed the way that they're dating, both online and in the real world. So thank you for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
And everybody who is with us, either watching or listening, I know you got so much out of today and we appreciate having you with us. And I really encourage you to take these tips and tools and start putting them to practice. And we appreciate having you here for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. We look forward to having you back again. If you want to listen back to today's session again and again and add it to your permanent collection, don't forget that you can do so by learning more about the Summit VIP package, which is below on the page, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. And please be sure to join us for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. We'll see you next time. Thanks again, Bella. Bye-bye.
Bye.